Good afternoon. I am Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this 20th Sunday after Pentecost, proper 23, year B. Our readings today, Job chapter 23, verses 1 to 9, and 16 and 17, Psalm 22, the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 12 to 16, and the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Almighty God, King of all creation, sovereign over all things, You hold the universe in the palm of Your hand. Enable us to keep our hearts fixed on You and our minds on Your truth. For we have come to worship You as Lord of all. Amen. Lord, though we often find the world to be a frightening place that drains our hope, stultifies our joy, and robs us of our peace, we rejoice in the promise that in the midst of the storm, everyone who stands close to You will find freedom and security, peace and protection. Lord, we have come to thank You for being present when we are tempted, strong enough to hold us up when we are falling, and loving enough to stand by us, forgiving us and helping us to begin again. We bring our prayer to You in Jesus' name. Amen. And we have a hymn, CPWI 253. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds.
Oh,
we pray the collect for Proper 23, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given to good works. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping all brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, "The First Will Be Last and the Last First." The first will be last and the last first. Our gospel today from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 31, tells of Jesus' encounter with a man who was rich in worldly goods. The man, with an interest in receiving the gift of eternal life, ran up and knelt before Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Jesus, in love, points him to the Ten Commandments, the section of the commandments that deal with our duty to our neighbor. You would recall that the first four commandments deal with our duty to God. No other gods, no idol or idol worship, no wrongful use of the name of the Lord, and remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Jesus is reminding the man of the commandments, and these are the ones he cited. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Verse 19. The man was able to respond, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Verse 20. Jesus, however, was able to determine the man's challenge because he did not mention the last commandment, the one that deals with self-centered love of self and the desire to have all things for oneself. Jesus did not mention, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, his wife, male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus recognized that wealth and possessions could become the source of unhealthy desire. Those who have want more, and in many cases will do whatever is necessary to get it. Jesus directs the man to what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus, in love, told him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." Verse 21. Mark reports that when he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Verse 22. It is obvious that this man forgot the words of God to the children of Israel as God spoke to them about the land of promise. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, God said to them, "If wealth increases, do not say to yourself, 'My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth." This man was possessed by his possessions. Jesus desired to free him from the clutches of the love of money and worldly possessions. It is obvious that his wealth had enslaved him, and without knowing it, had taken the first place in his life. He could not picture himself without his possessions. He would be nothing and nobody. He did not understand that selling all his possessions would free him and enable him to put God first in his life, thereby enabling him to have a special relationship with God. Therefore, he would, by God's grace, experience the fullness of life which Jesus, and following Jesus, and being a part of God's kingdom, had to offer. The man did not realize that he was hooked by his wealth. Jesus, in this encounter, focuses on one of the three situations in human affairs that creates a real challenge for us and our relationship with God, self, and others. We human beings are challenged by wealth, power, and fame, three gifts which God can give us, which can be corrupted by our selfish desires and the temptations of the world. As the man leaves his presence, Jesus makes the observation: it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 25. St. Paul, in his advice to young Timothy, pointed out that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Unless the individual is able to see wealth and earthly possessions as a means to an end, that is, a means to fulfill God's plan and purpose, a means to help others to experience God's love, a means to bring relief from deprivation, pain, and suffering to others, rather than an end in itself, wealth will cause us to covet, to want more and more, and we will do anything to get more of it. We will never be satisfied with what we have. In the face of the world's plenty, we will have less and less of God. As disciples of Christ, we must therefore be aware of the temptations of power and fame. We all know the quotation, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." John Ashton. When we allow our power to control us and influence our relationship with God, to the extent that we forget that the power is from God for a purpose, remember, to be used for the good of others, then the power will certainly corrupt us as we seek more and more until we are consumed by the desire for more power. It becomes an obsession, and often leads to self-destruction. In the face of the power of the world, we need to remind ourselves that power indeed resides in God, and it is a gift that God shares with us to enable us to fulfill God's purpose. It therefore must be used in accordance with God's will and God's guidance. As disciples of Christ, we must be aware of the destructive temptation of fame. Jesus did not allow his popularity to turn him away from his mission of redemption of the world. Even as he entered Jerusalem in procession, with crowds, with palm branches, and shouts of Hosanna, he did not allow that to distract him from his mission and his journey to the cross. As disciples of Christ, we must be careful of the ego, that sense of self-esteem or self-importance that can cause us to move away from God and believe that we have done it or able to do it all by ourselves. The ego has been described as the only requirement to destroy any relationship, including our relationship with God. As disciples of Christ, we must always see our self-importance in relation to God and others. Each one of us is a special child of God, created lovingly by God, given the gift of life and gifts to enable us to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our lives. We always have to see ourselves as special children of God in relation to other special children of God. They may be under different circumstances, but the same God. The world will tell us when we have gifts of wealth, power, and fame that we are first, and those with little or without are last. Those who are first by the world standards will be like the man in our gospel today, possessed by our possessions, power, and popularity. They will be first in our lives and affect not only our relationship with God, but our relationship with others. We will crave more and more and more, and we will never be satisfied. God will not be our number one priority. We will be first in the world, but last in the kingdom of God. Therefore, if we receive wealth, power, and fame as gifts from God, then we must use them in the service of God's people. Whatever we have, even if we have little, so that we are considered last by the world, but we will be first in the kingdom of God. We must have our priorities right. It is better to be last in the world and first in the kingdom than to be first in the world and never enter the kingdom of God. Jesus invites us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We will always have enough, sufficient for today. and our lives in the world and in the kingdom will not depend on our wealth or power or our fame. All we have must always be used for the glory of God and for the benefit of God's people. Amen. Let us pray. Pour into our hearts, O God, the spirit of unselfishness, so that when our cup overflows, we may seek to share our happiness with our brothers and sisters. O God of love, who makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust, grant that we may become more and more your true children by receiving in our souls more of your own spirit of ungrudging and unwearying kindness. This we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, so often we let the world overcome us. We live too much in the continual fear of the changes and chances of mortal life. We let things go too much their own way. We try too much to get what we can by our own selfish wits without considering our neighbor. We follow too much the ways and fashions of the day, doing and saying and thinking anything that comes utmost, just because there is so much around us. Free us, O God, from our selfish interests, and guide us, good Lord, to see your way and always to do your will by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, teach us to understand that your Son died to save us, not from suffering, but from ourselves, not from injustice, far less from justice, but from being unjust. He died that we might live, but live as he lives, by dying as he died, who died to himself, to save us from our sins. Amen. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. We have a hymn, CPWI 519, From Heaven You Came. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the costs, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, we pray that, God, you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May God be your comfort, your strength. God be your hope and support. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and forever. Amen. And so we pray that you will have a spirit-filled, rewarding, and productive week. Remember to continue to worship, to wash your hands, to watch your distance, and to wear your mask. Please be safe. And we remind you that God is good all the time. His Holy Spirit.